You're going through refinement. Amen. That's how you get stronger and stronger. Amen. That's what I got from that song. But amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm Brother Adam, and I'm here to give you guys a message. God is here to give you a message. Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead and open with prayer. Well, Father God, we just want to be thankful, Lord God, for bringing us here safely, Lord God. And we just want to be thankful for the love you give us and the grace you show us in our walk and in our everyday life, Lord God. And even if we're going through struggles, Lord God, we have faith and hope in you to bring us through it. And we thank you, Lord God, for strengthening us and putting us in a place where it can give you glory and honor, Lord God. And as the word's given today, Lord God, let it reach anybody, all of everybody in here, Lord God, and to strengthen them and to give them something to go with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, today's sermon is going to be on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. The title of the sermon today is One Body, Many Members. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and start off with a story. Amen. Like we do. This story is about, okay, so this is not actually my dad or my son, but it's a story that, funny, there's a radio flyer involved. This is just talking about how important it is to put a bike together correctly. Okay. Amen. So when my son was about 3 years old, my dad got him his first bicycle. It was a tricycle, just like this one that you cannot see put together, and it was a radio flyer. And I know my dad, okay, and he was a great mechanic, but he didn't like instructions. He liked to do things his way, or he, you know, bless his soul. But so he decided to put this bike together, and he brought it over. It was a Christmas present that my dad, or birthday present, one of the two. And so my dad put it together, and he's like, oh, here's the bike. Come and get it. So I already knew better because of the past incidents of him putting things together for me that didn't really go out that well. So we take Jonathan out, and we take him out, and all of a sudden he's riding, and of course the back wheel falls off, and Jonathan falls off the bike. So all we could do was laugh about it, you know. But today's message is talking, you know, and it was just one bolt that he didn't tighten down that just made the whole thing fall apart. Amen. So today's message is based on how God intricately puts us together and how we are as one body in Christ, amen? And how just if one piece is off, the whole body can be off. But we take care of each other, we bring each other through it, and we hold it together, and God strengthens this body of Christ, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13 reads, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. It is with Christ. For we all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are given the one Spirit to drink. Amen. So in this first part, it's going to be pretty neat today because what we're going through, the rest of this, it's pretty much a spiritual anatomy lesson from Paul. All right, it's kind of like a, you know, you're going to hear about ears, eyes, knees, and toes. Like I said earlier, that's kind of like a song I remember back, ears and toes, anyways. But there's a song about how our bodies put together. God has made such an amazing, created us as a body and our own selves and put it all together to hold it together so we can function properly. Amen. This goes beyond just that. It's a soul. God builds us up in a spiritual sense too. So this is where Paul, he's beginning here by comparing the church to the human body. And it's kind of a simple way to explain things, but it carries a lot of truth to it. Amen. And a human body is one organism made up of many different parts. Amen. Each part has a unique function, and every part contributes to the health and life of the whole body. Amen. And as we know, the hand cannot do what the foot does, right? Anybody here can shake feet and say hands? I would have done it as long as the shoe stayed on. Trust. Amen. But and as we know the hand cannot do what the foot does, and we know that the eye cannot do the work of the ear. Amen. And their differences are not weaknesses, but they're all part of God's design. Paul is saying the church functions in the same way. Amen. Although all of us come from different backgrounds, we have different personalities and receive different spiritual gifts, we all belong to Christ. Amen. Because we all have given ourselves to Christ. You've got to accept it. He's not going to force it on us. Amen. And now the truth, it challenges the church of Corinth because they had begun measuring each other by their spiritual importance and by visible gifts. Amen. Judging each other's gifts and their spiritual importance. Now, some of the people of Corinth believed certain abilities made them even more valuable than the others. That's a no-no. We're all equal in God's eyes. Amen. God sees us as all as equals. Amen. We all sin equally either, also. Paul reminds them that every believer shares the same standing before God. Amen. There are no first class and there are no second class Christians. We are Christians. Amen. We believe in Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose 3 days. You are a Christian. Amen. Amen. Every member of Christ's body has been redeemed by the same Savior and is called in the same family. We all are in the same family of Christ. And the church reflects God's wisdom through its diversity. It's great to be different. If we were all the same, it'd be super boring. Amen. And different gifts should not divide the church. They should strengthen it. What I was saying by that is that some gifts, you know, we all have gifts, amen. We got multiple gifts, not just singular, amen. Some have the gifts of preaching, some have the gifts of tongues, some have the gifts of healing, but God uses every one of those to keep his body whole so we can be whole, amen. So we strengthen it, so we go out of this church and we reach people, and then guess what? They become part of the body and it gets stronger and stronger, amen. Just as the body requires many different parts to function properly, the church requires believers with different abilities and a calling to accomplish God's work. Verse 14 reads, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Amen. The body comes up with many. I should have looked it up to how many parts we have that are joined. I know there's a lot. It's a plenty parts. Too many to count, for me at least. Now, this is where Paul is shifting his attention to the reality that the body consists of many members rather than just one. So the statement introduced what I think is one of the greatest struggles that believers often face, and that's comparison. We should not compare each other, amen? God knows what we are. We know what we are. But to know and to want what is a gift that God's blessed somebody else with, guess what? Ask God. Don't be jealous or don't be envious of the other person, amen? Now, comparison, it causes people to focus on what they lack instead of appreciating what God has provided in their lives. Instead of recognizing their own place within the church, they begin wishing they possessed someone else's gifts or opportunities. Amen. This mindset leads to discouragement and causes people to underestimate their value inside the church for their own service, their own service to God. You know, trust what God has given you. Let him guide you. Let him use you. And let him show the gifts that you have. Everybody has a gift. Amen? Amen. Don't let it go to waste. God never intended every believer to be the same. How boring would that be? Difference is part of it. Being different is part of God's perfect design. Amen. We've got to remember that in our everyday lives. We're all different. Amen. The church would be incomplete if every member attempted to fulfill the same role. Imagine all of us up here preaching at the same time. Right? That's a big argument waiting to happen. Somebody's going to get louder and louder, and then it's going to be wild. But, that's just not the way God intended it to be, right? And it's also the ones that say to pray, if you need prayer, come get prayer. You've got a gift. Guess what? Every one of us had the gift of prayer. That's a gift in itself. Grow off of that. That's a good start. If you feel like you're lost and you don't have a gift, guess what? You already got a gift. God's given you a gift. Just use it. Find it. Amen? We need to remember that faithfulness is valued far more highly than how we are seen in the church. Be faithful, like that song was saying. He put a lot of faith in God. He was struggling when he wrote that song. That's what I got from it. He put it in God's hands. So whatever you do with it, it's yours, God. Amen. That's where faithfulness comes in. Now, verses 15 through 16 reads, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of that body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." Okay. Now, the body seems like it's getting an argument, fighting with itself, trying to take over somebody else's or another part's duty, right? Now, just as Paul is making his point by having the people of Corinth imagining a foot, arguing with the person it belongs to, of course, and it just does not belong because it's not a hand. Amen. Everything in the body works in a way God created it to do. Like Pastor me, we could not shake feet and hand. That was weird. But it was useful. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And while the picture he paints in all this is funny, it's exposing a serious spiritual problem inside the church. Now, many believers quietly struggle with feelings of unworthiness, you know, not feeling worthy in the church. That's bad. We should be catching on to those things too, as people in the church. Somebody's struggling, you see it, you say it. You know, it's one thing at my job that we do, that's part of what I do. I work with people with disabilities. If you see something, you say it. You put it out there, amen. We look out for each other. That's what a body does, amen. Now, sometimes it assumes that their contribution is insignificant because it differs from somebody else's, okay? And now, they may believe that unless they occupy a visible position of leadership, their service is little value. No, just because I'm up here doesn't mean, whoever made the hot dogs and put that out for the water park today, or the water slide, or just here to pray, or just here to hold each other, guess what? You're just as equal. There's just a message to be said in all of it. Receive it. Amen. Because it's God working through every one of us. There's a reason why we're all here right now, receiving something. So guess what? We can benefit His glory. Amen. So when we walk out of this building, whatever you get out of it, use it. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Amen. Now, Paul's rejecting that way of thinking completely. Now, a body would never function if a part attempted to become something it was never designed to be. Amen. Now, the foot serves an entirely different purpose than the hand, but neither one can accomplish the other's work, like we said. Now, the same principle applies within the church. Now, every believer has been uniquely gifted by God. Amen. I'm going to say that many times today. So it settles in. You have a gift. Use it. Amen. Now, some serve publicly while others serve quietly behind the scenes. Amen. The ones that, like I said, that cook the hot dogs, I don't even know who did it. They did it so quietly. I don't know when they had the time, but they were done. Amen. And then you hear kids out there, there's people making sure that the kids are being taught in the back. You know, as long as we're all up here receiving the word of God, you know, it's this whole thing God has put together as a unique process. Amen. Now, some teach while others, like I said, encourage, they organize, they give, you pray, or care for those in need. Guess what our church does here? This isn't a beautiful church because we care for those that are in need. Some other churches forget about that. There's too much in the way. They got too many behind the scenes, what they call behind the scenes, too many projects, too many big scenes and all these lasers and lights and stuff, but they forget that there's a person outside that just wants to be loved. Amen. That just needs to hear the word, needs to hear, it's okay, it's going to be okay. What can I do to help you? Instead of what can I get from you? That's not how we do it here at Amazing Grace. We give. God gives. We give. That's how it works. Amen. And God does not measure importance according to public recognition. He values faithfulness wherever it is found. Being faithful. Amen. Stay in faith. Stay in faithfulness. God's got it. Now, verse 17 reads, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Okay. Now, as I said in the early, it's just, you know, God, when you're up here, when you're speaking to people, it's funny how it just comes together, because the way we know our body works, if you cannot smell for some reason, you cannot taste, right? And that's just how it works. God's just created something so amazing in ourselves where we see that in itself, right? Just a taste, sense of taste and smell, okay? Or how our hands work, or how our ears work. Because with that, and I remember, you know, and this is one thing that gets me, is I don't know and I don't understand how somebody cannot believe in God with something so amazing that's right here, that's been put together. How can you guys understand what I'm saying right now, right? How do you feel? How do you know what I'm saying is love? How do you feel the connection, right? It's beyond just the body, though. It's a spiritual connection, too, that God has intertwined together. Amen? Now, Paul's continuing by asking what would happen if the entire body consisted of only one part. The whole body were an eye, hearing would become possible. If it were only an ear, then, like I said, there would be no sense or smell. Amen? And what he's explaining here is that the body requires every part to work differently for its function to function properly. Amen? Now, the church is reflecting that same reality. Amen? No single person possesses every gift. Nope. Guess what? There was one, and there is one. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the perfect, and we should all want to be like him and work and adjust ourselves, because I know that in my own personal life, I always think, and it's funny because whenever they came out with WWJD, that was more profound in my life than any other time. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus be? How would Jesus love? And how would Jesus just bring it together? Amen. We got to be like Jesus because he's the most perfect being that was ever put together. Amen. Because we're all sinners. We would have, you know, we've all sinned. We've gotten in the way of ourselves. Amen. You know, God distributes different gifts among his people so that believers can be dependent upon one another rather than independent of one another. All right? It's not doing it by yourself. We do this together. Amen? We do this together. Now, this mutual dependence it encourages humility also. You have to be humble in what God's gifts he's given you. You have to be. You cannot say, oh, I gotten a gift of speaking in tongues, or I can do it, and you can't do it. Uh-uh. God shies away from that. You don't use the gifts that God's give you to rub it in somebody's face. Amen. That's not what he does. That's not who he is. Amen. Matter of fact, those gifts can be taken away from you. Amen. What you see or hear is it'd be fall on deaf ears. And if we're going to keep using anatomy, we might as well just keep going that way with it. Amen. Falling on deaf ears. All right. Now, the church grows stronger when its members recognize both their own strengths and the need for their strengths. Amen. We have to recognize where strength is needed to hold each other up. Amen. Like when somebody's in prayer, somebody's in pain and hurt, we have to hold each other up. Amen. When you see somebody that's going through something, God gives you discernment. He'll show it to you, saying, and you can see it, you know, God, it's an amazing thing because he's blessed me with the ability to see hurt in people's faces. And I go up to them and say, are you okay? What can I do? You know, you got to pay attention to people because they'll show it. You know, I show it when I'm hurting. People look at me and they're like, what's going on? You're not talking. Well, I'm going through something. Pray for me. Amen. All right, so on this next part is verses 18 through 20. This is one body, many members, okay? The eyes see, I notice what others may miss. The ears hear, I listen and pay attention. The hands serve, I help and get things done. Amen, thank for hands. Heart, I show love, compassion, and kindness. That's my favorite. I love to show kindness and compassion. I love love. Love is great. Love is kind. Amen. Your feet, to get you to where you need to go to take that message that Jesus gave you. Now these days, you got phones, you got tablets, you got all kinds of other ways. But guess what? Those things, you want to be face-to-face with somebody. It's great to be able to hold somebody's hand and pray with them. It's good to pray for them over the phone. Never take away from it. But when you become one-on-one with somebody, there's something there. When it says in the Word, where two or more are gathered in his name, he's right there in the midst. But guess what? There's always going to be two or more gathered, even when you're by yourself, because God gave us something called the Holy Spirit, right? So there are two always there, amen? So two or more, which is three, four, five, it doesn't matter. God's always going to be there when you call upon him, amen? And in the mind, to think, I have ideas and solve problems. That one's a little rough on me. I thank God for my wife, because you know what? She solves a lot of problems for me, amen? You know, but God does it through her, gives her a gift to be my wife, amen? That's a gift in itself, marriage. A gift of having a companion that will put you in your place when need be. Amen. I know you're looking at me away. Amen. Not right now, later. Okay, in verses 18 through 20 it reads, but in fact God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Amen. Now, this is where Paul is emphasizing that God himself has arranged every member of the body exactly as he's desired, not how we desire. Amen. Now, the statement removes all grounds for pride and all reasons for discouragement. Got to remove the pride. You don't say, oh, because pride is man's downfall. I thank God that I'm equal. Matter of fact, sometimes I put myself and I got to catch it because I feel lesser, right? But God will pick me right back up when I'm feeling that way. He's like, no, you're doing okay. Amen. It's okay. I got this. I put it together like this for a reason. Amen. That's where you put faithfulness in. Amen. Now, the placement of every believer within the church is an act of God's sovereign wisdom. Sovereign wisdom. That's his wisdom. Amen. Now, spiritual gifts are not distributed randomly, nor are ministries assigned by accident. Nobody's here by accident. It's all part of God's design plan. Everyone that's here, like I said, we're going to go out, and hopefully it's not even about the message that God's given you today. It's about what He's created you to be, to go show love to the world, because this world's an ugly place. And that's the way the devil wants it to be. Anger, fear, hatred, everything gets in the way of God's promise. Amen? As long as we let it. But guess what? We have the power not to let it, because He's made us this way. We can call upon Him and say, God, thank You for fixing everything. Thank You for fixing my path so I can lead others on it. Amen? Amen. Now, in verse, God equips His people according to His perfect purposes and places them where they can contribute most effectively to do the work of His kingdom. Amen? Now, verses 21 through 24 reads, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor." Okay? It's a lot. I mean, we're almost through it. We're getting through eyes, feet, ears, nose. Now, this is where Paul was addressing the believers who felt inferior. Okay? Don't ever feel inferior while you're in church. You should never feel that way. God's got you. He's got you in a special place. Amen? Don't ever feel, and if you feel that way, come up to somebody and say, what can I do for the church, right? Because that just means that you're just giving opportunity, and you're listening, you're trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, but you're letting feeling inferior get in the way. Because what? We're all equal. There's nobody better than anybody in this church or any other church, amen, or in the world, amen. And now this is where he's turning the opposite problem, which is into spiritual pride. That's something you don't want. Amen. That's a scary slope. We see it in a lot. I've seen a lot of, I think about, growing up, and you hear about these mega preachers, these mega churches, and then all of a sudden you hear about their sins, right? You can't hide from it. God will bring you to a level where you feel like you're all the way up on top of the mountain. And guess what? It's an easier way to come down that mountain. It's a faster way. It's rough to get up that mountain, but it's a lot quicker to get down that mountain. Amen? Because God will bring you to your knees when He says so and when He feels it. Amen? Now, in this part of the verse, some of the members had begun to believe that their gifts were more visible or highly regarded, and they had less need for others. Amen? And this is where Paul is confronting their attitude by continuing his illustration of the human body. Just as no part of the body can function by itself, no believer can honestly say they have no need for another member of the church. No, you do not feel like you can push somebody outside the church because you feel like they don't match the church. Because guess what? Jesus loves everybody. Amen. It's not our place to judge somebody. We bring anybody into this church. Like I said, I don't try to bring it up, but there's other churches that will turn somebody away. I grew up in a church where the lead pastor would not want homeless people or loud people or people that were even high come into church. I get it. You gotta make sure you gotta use discernment. God gives you discernment. But guess what? You love that person no matter what. You pray for them. That's a gift. You use that gift to pray for that person. Because guess what? God's greater than anything and anybody. Amen. Now, every part of the body depends on others, and the church is supposed to operate according to the same principle. Now, Christianity is lived within the fellowship of the body of Christ, and every believer benefits from the gifts, encouragements, wisdom, and faithfulness for others. So now we're getting to the point where we build each other up. Talks about how you can knock somebody down, but how quick you can pick somebody up. Amen. But guess what? If you got to look at yourself, point your finger at yourself, say, where am I at? Am I knocking somebody down or am I picking somebody up? One thing we don't want to do is knock people down. Amen. We got to hold each other up. Like when Moses, when he was tired from praying, he had the men hold his arms up so he can keep praying. Amen. Amen. He had people to hold him up. Amen. I know these got long arms. There'd be about two people on each side, please. Sometimes he's like, well, this is about anatomy. I'm looking, I'm like, God created a big guy here. Now, this is how the church is supposed to operate according to the same principle. Amen. God never intended believers to serve in isolation, or to become self-sufficient. Can't do it by yourself, people. Nope. It doesn't work that way. How boring would it be anyways? And then people think you're crazy talking to yourself all the time. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you do. You get in a closet, but not forever. You know, you get with the Lord, that's good. But he wants you to come together as a family, because guess what? You being here makes us whole. Amen. It unifies us. It brings us together to receive something, to give something. Amen? Amen. Now, some of the most influential ministries are rarely seen by the congregation. Okay? A lot of us don't see what's going on behind the scenes, right? But God does. And I appreciate everybody here. It doesn't matter. I don't know. I'm right here. I know there's a lot else going on, but thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. That's key. Amen? Amen. Now, people's value is not measured by how much attention we get, but by God's purpose, right? A lot of us, you know, especially now these days with phones and cell phones, there's so much attention-seeking people, right? Everybody wants attention these days. And it's easier to get, but the sad part is it's fake, right? You don't know the person that you get a million likes, you get a million followers. You don't know those million people. You don't gain a relationship with them. Amen. And verses 24, the rest of 24 through 26, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You see how easy that can be, a slippery slope? Or it can be a great achievement. Amen? We're not here to beat each other up. And if you're suffering, we're here for you. And we suffer with it. We feel you. Amen? Because that's what you do. You have to have feelings. Amen? And you use those. You use what God's given you. And when somebody's doing great, you honor them. You give them a clap. You know, you tell them they're doing great, because guess what? That builds them up and it strengthens them. Amen. It's all about strength. It's all about going, like that song said, going through the fire and getting strong through it. Amen? Because you put your trust in God. Amen? Now, this is where Paul has explained that God has intentionally arranged the body of Christ so that every member receives honor and care. His purpose is to eliminate division, amen, and create unity among his people. Got to be unified. And the church was never intended to be a collection of independent individuals pursuing personal recognition. Like I said, it's a lot of this. This is why sometimes Paul repeated things over. This is sometimes when you go through a message, you'll hear it repeated, because it has to sink in. Amen. Now, the church was never to be a collection of independent individuals pursuing personal recognition. Instead, believers are joined together in such a way that the well-being of one member affects the entire body. Just like that one bolt affected that entire bicycle, right? When I got it back in, put that bolt on right, and guess what? Tricycle rolled on great. Amen. 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 And when one member suffers, the whole body is experiencing that suffering. And God's people are called to bear one another's burdens. Amen. Now, compassion is not optional within the church, because believers belong to one another. We all belong together. Amen. We're a family. Amen? Family looks out for family. And on the other hand, when one member is honored, the entire body rejoices. And the success of one member strengthens the testimony of the entire church, because every victory ultimately belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen? Every victory does. Amen? And this mutual affection, this mutual care reflects the character of Christ himself. Right? Guess what? God is ultimate strength. Amen? Because it helps us get through it. Now, the church is called to display that same love by caring for one another with sincerity and humility. Be humble. Be humble. Find humility in it. This morning, like, me and my wife were coming to church, and sometimes you just take a look back and you're like, God, how did I get here? Because you got me here. I can't ask the question. You've done it, Lord. You know, you brought me out of a bad, bad place and put me in a good place. Amen. Because I put through trust and faith into you. Because I figure, and it's no way, no doubt about it, I couldn't do it in myself. Matter of fact, quite the opposite. I was destroying my body. You know, I was destroying every member of it, my family, not realizing the hurt and the pain. I was realizing it, but that's just the crazy part about it. But God chose to put me where he needs me, just like he's done with you guys. Amen. Now, in this, it shows one body, many members. As we know, we serve, encourage, teach, lead, give, love, and pray. Different gifts, and that's all about one purpose. Amen? It's about how we give it to God to let him do what he needs to do in us. Amen. Now, verse 27 reads, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen. Now, Paul, now he's moving on from an illustration to direct application by reminding the Corinthians that they are a body of Christ. And the image of a human body is no longer theoretical. That describes that the identity of every believer. Amen. It's identifying us. Amen. And each Christian belongs to Christ individually, yet together they form one body.
Amen.
Amen. Every believer has unique gifts and responsibilities, as we all do, while contributing to unify and to have unity and the growth of the whole body of Christ. This truth provides both identity and responsibility. Now, a lot of people, that's the big key right there, that word responsibility. Because when you step into God's work, it's responsibility. Amen. And it's scary sometimes, but God's got you. Have faith. Amen. Go through that fire because you're only going to get stronger. Amen. And gifts are not given solely for personal benefit, but for the strengthening, encouragement, and maturity of the entire church. An immature church is not going to stand. You got to be mature. Grow up. Grow up through Christ. Let God age us. Amen. Now remember, no ministry exists for personal recognition or advancement. That's why sometimes I hear, oh, Joel Osteen Ministries. No, it should be God's Ministries. Amen. I'm just saying it, you know, it's just putting your name out there. I get it's part of it. But this says Amazing Grace. It doesn't say Pastor Robert Church, right? Amen. It says Amazing Grace because what does God show us? Amazing Grace. What a beautiful sound it is. Amen. Now, verses 28 through 30 reads, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. All our apostles, all our prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Guess what? No, not all do. Guess what? It's complete. God will put it all together. There'll be one person that speaks in tongues, one person in healing, because guess what? That just makes us equal. That's the way he finds equality. He gives us gifts of love and understanding. Now, this is where Paul is concluding in this section by reminding the Corinthians that God himself appoints different roles and gifts within the church. And now the variety of ministries at demonstrating God's wisdom and equipping his people according to his own purpose. Now, not every receiver has the same calling. Excuse me, my mouth is drying up. It's part of the body, you know? It needs water. Thank you, babe. Amen. Now, it's a series of rhetorical questions, and he's trying to make his point unmistakably clear. Not everyone is going to fulfill the same role because God never intended every believer to possess identical gifts. Amen. Now, if we recognize the truth, it protects the church from two dangers. Now, this is key. This is how God protects the church. It's guarding against pride by reminding those with visible gifts that their abilities are gifts from God rather than personal achievements. Okay? I didn't do this by myself, trust me. None of us have done this by ourselves. It's God-given ability and gift, amen? And it also guards against discouragement by assuring every believer that different gifts are not lesser gifts, amen? Like I was telling my wife earlier, I can't make a cake. She can make a cake. I'm not going to try to make a cake because it's not going to be a cake like she can make, amen? I know better than going to kitchen because I know she has a gift. And like I have a gift to be able to go out and go to pastor's house and fix an irrigation leak, amen? He entrusts me with that gift, and I love to give that gift. Amen? It's a gift, and I love it, and I say, Pastor. He goes, Adam, thank you, Adam. Pastor, I do it because I love you. Amen? Because it's a gift that God's given me. Amen? And he gave me a lot more, and I'm learning, but this is part of the process. We do it together. We all do it together. Amen? Now, verse 31 reads, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. That's key. You have to eagerly desire the gifts that are there before you. You ask and you shall receive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is key for everybody. It means put work into it. Just don't say, God, I'm going to sit here for all my life. You're going to give me these gifts. No, you have to put work into it so you can receive those. I mean, yeah, he can do it. God's going to do whatever he wants to do, but he's going to make sure those gifts don't go to waste.
Amen.
Amen. He will use every one of the gifts that he's given you to what? To benefit his glory. Amen. Amen. And now this is where Paul, he's closing the chapter by encouraging believers to desire the gifts. Desire them. If it's something you want, ask. Amen. Ask and put forth. Amen. And guess what? It'll affect and it'll build up the church. As more gifts grow in the church, guess what? The gifts are going to spread. They're going to spread out to the outside doors. It's going to bring people in. Guess what? They're going to get gifts. And it's just going to keep going and going and going. Amen. And the biggest gift is to sow seed, to sow God, to put it out there. Amen. Because guess what? When you see somebody come out of what I've come out of or what other people have come out in the church, what's the greater gift? Saying, thank you, Jesus. I've seen great things happen. Say, great healings happen in this church. Amen. You know why? Because we're a very humble church. Amen. Doesn't mean that a big church don't have it, but there's something here special, an amazing grace, where we can get up, pastor and get up, and pastor, we'll bring somebody up, set a chair here, and everybody comes in as a family and prays for that person. We'll lay hands. Pastor will be, everybody lay hands, stretch your hands out. Pastor will be like, somebody start. Amen. That's him putting it on everybody else to show the gift that's been given. Amen. That's key. It's amazing. Amazing grace. Amen. Now, his concern is not a personal status, but spiritual usefulness. And gifts are to be pursued with the goal of strengthening God's people and advancing the gospel. Amen. Now, in closing, I know it's a little long. It's 19 verses to get through. In closing, Paul's message in this passage, it leaves with an important question for all of us. What kind of member of the body am I? Okay. Ask yourself that question. And it's one of the questions is, am I serving faithfully where God has placed me, or am I spending my time comparing myself to someone else? And am I encouraging to gift the gift of others, or am I quietly wishing I had what they have? Right? Yeah, you don't want to do that either. God doesn't like that. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Amen? Am I contributing to unify the church, bringing the church together, or have I allowed pride, jealousy, or even discouragement to keep me from God fulfilling the purpose that he's given me? You can get in the way of the Lord doing what he wants to do. Amen. We do it all the time. It's called sin. Now, the beauty of the church is that God takes ordinary people like us with different personalities. I got a great one. I'm not boasting, but I got a great personality. I love it that he's blessed me with a personality. I can make people laugh and smile, but that's amazing, you know. I love to see people smile. You know, I was talking about it before. I love love. I do. Because it's so needed. I love to hug. I love to talk. And I love to smile. Because people, guess what? We need it. Amen. So easy to walk out of this place and all of a sudden that smile turns upside down. Because we get back into what the world has to show us. Take the church and what you get, the smiles of love, and push it out there and spread it throughout the nation. Amen. All the nations. Amen. And 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm closing with this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, it reads, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks with the very words of God. Amen. Listen to that, the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Beautiful, right? That says it all in itself right there. I mean, that just covers everything that I said today. Amen. Just in Peter. Amen. But guess what? None of us can do everything, but each of us have something that we have to answer a calling. Amen. We can't do everything. Amen. No. Now, God has not asked us to imitate another believer. He has called us to faithfully steward what he's entrusted us with. Now, whether it's your public, is whether if you have services in the public or private section of the church, and whether if it's noticed by many or seen by only by God. Amen. Remember that. God sees everything. Every act of faithful obedience matters in his kingdom. Amen. Now, the church is strongest when every member humbly serves. It means we do it because God loves us doing it. Amen. We do it for God. Amen. And we never just do it because I did it. Amen. And our significance is not measured by applause, but by faithfulness.